Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. I'm here with Chris. You can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And Damien, you can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. Our number one for the week is Loose Ends on Image by Latour, Bruner, and
Jason,
Renz.
Jason Latour.
Renzi. And our over-under is Jukebox Songs. So if you read the book, you'll kind of know where we're going with that one. And don't forget to head to Review and Roast and check out all of our written stuff, reviews for movies, TV shows. And hey, guess what? You can buy movie tickets from there. So I don't know if I've been mentioning that lately, but it's still a thing, and you can still do that, and that would help us out a little bit. So thanks. Hi.
So go buy the tickets.
Right. You know, you're going to see movies anyway, so you might as well get tickets.
Circle the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Song.
Did you?
Yeah.
And?
I thought it was great.
That's what I've been hearing.
Friend of mine said he's going Tuesday because his wife and daughters are taking him for Valentine's Day.
Aww.
But he said that
my wife and daughter went yesterday. It's great.
He said his daughters aren't very good in the movie theater, so it's probably going to be him running around after them the whole time. And I told him, I don't know. I mean, they're taking you out, so that sounds like your wife's job.
Wow.
It's all about Dave. Sweet.
Is that the Wendy's guy?
Yeah, he's the founder of Wendy's, right?
Yeah, he comes over once in a while.
It's weird, but his 40-year-old daughter Wendy just is terrible in movies. You can't take her anywhere.
I'm just impressed.
She's adopted.
Back from the dead to go to the movies. Isn't Dave Thomas dead?
I mean, it is Lego Batman, so
okay. Yeah, he is.
He's one of those super rich people that has a cryogenically frozen head.
I could see that.
Sweet.
You know his first name is actually Rex.
Is it?
What?
Yep.
He just shattered my world.
He's part of the
Dave is his middle name.
He's part of the Steve Bannon super right wing cryogenically frozen cyborg people that he's planning on unleashing on all of us someday.
The Ubermensch.
Yep. It's all part of that movie that never got made. Directed by Mel Gibson.
Nice.
It's sort of a true story ish.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I mean, as far as, I guess, nerd stuff this week, I haven't really done much, but I will say we kind of have had visitors at work almost every day this week, whether it be, somebody we're going to do some business with or some clients or the owner and all the regional sales guys all came in for a couple of days. And let's just say that the simple fact that when they're all in the conference room and I walked in and everyone's like, oh my God, fucking Scott, what's up? And it's like I was a rock star walking in and I'm like, everyone wants to fist bump and shake hands and high five me. Meanwhile, like the quote unquote new boss who has never really met these guys in person is just sitting across the table with a look on his face because I get along with everybody in this company and they all kind of think he's a big tool. So win for me, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming, well, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but he's the kind of guy that didn't take any time to figure out what we do and how we do it. And he just basically came in the door like, well, you guys are all stupid and I'm going to do my best to fire each and every one of you. So just for him to walk in and, you know, loves me because I do my job and I do it very well. It's just nice to see that look of jealousy on his face when he realizes I might not be able to fire this.
Nice.
Well, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. Fingers crossed because I want to keep my shitty job.
Give me a job there. I may need one soon.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
I may.
That's good though because Trump's going to be bringing all these jobs back, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, I have the job here already. I don't need him to bring anything back for me.
Yeah.
I played Star Realms a lot this week. For those not familiar, Star Realms is one of those micro deck builders you can buy at like your various comic shops. But there's an app for it, and it's free, so I download it on my phone, and I play it at lunch every day by myself, because that's really, socially amazing to sit in a corner like a troll and play a game on your phone. But, yeah, it's not bad. Other than that, another sucky week that sucked, and I hated it. I'm glad it's over. But, you know, global warming has
You're ready for another one.
Right.
I'm hoping to avoid a third sucky week in a row because the last 2 weeks have sucked, and I don't want a third one, so maybe this week won't suck as much.
Yeah, but since it's you we're talking about, I'm sure it's going to, because no matter what happens, it's going to suck.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that because to be mean to you. I'm just saying, like, you could win $1 million and you'd still say, yeah, this week sucked.
No, if I won $1 million, I would be... No, these past 2 weeks, awful. So, Star Realms was not awful. And the fact that global warming has given us 75-degree weather on a Sunday in February is pretty rad. I mean, when the tidal waves come, that's going to suck. But for right now, whew, get out those jogging shorts.
You don't even have to worry about, dude. It's all fake. It's all fake.
It is totally fake. It's just a generator.
The ice caps aren't melting. There's plenty of ice up there. Just don't look at all the dead polar bears. It's cool.
Yeah, there's a trench
Tremendous amount of ice.
There's a trench up in the North Pole that's, like, cracking horribly, and there's, like, 500-foot chasms right now. So when that breaks off, oh, boy, that's going to be terrible for people. But, you know, right now, jogging, so pick your poison, I suppose.
Well, I mean, it's at least we're, you know, we've got all these protections in place from the oh, wait, no, those are all gone now. Never mind.
Yeah.
This week in Trump.
At least the next generation will be educated so well that, oh, wait.
Yeah, we can pretty much go on that all day.
What are these books you speak of, Dad? Well, gather around the campfire in the dumpster that we live in, and I'll tell you.
Love it.
I just cleaned house this week.
Like cleaning a house, or like cleaned house, like he went somewhere and just like...
No, he went somewhere
John
on Monday.
Everybody in there.
No, he went on Monday, got a job, went in, fired everybody by Friday. Now he's home. He cleaned house all week.
And then when he gets there tomorrow, he realizes, oh my God, I have nobody to do the work now. I got to hire everybody back.
It's cleaning house. Cleaning our house.
It would be way better if you like put on like a suit and had a mullet and went into like a warehouse and just fought a bunch of guys. And cleaned
Whoa.
House like that.
That's not what I expected.
I was thinking because that John Wick movie is pretty new, and every commercial has Keanu Reeves, who's like 54 years old in real life, like kung fu kicking everybody in the face. He cleaned house.
Yep.
He did.
No, that's all I did is cleaned house. I binged watch Stranger Things, which I guess you can't really call it binge watching. It's only 8 episodes.
It's like 8 hours, though. So that's a
right.
solid
yeah.
day.
True.
Well, it took me... Okay, I didn't binge watch it. It took me, like, 3 days.
All right. Still something.
Which, it was actually better than I thought.
Cool. Glad you like it.
Season 2 will be out soon.
Yeah, in October.
It was actually kind of funny, because I was watching the previews for season 2, and they're like, oh, my God. You know, it's just going to take place a few months, or right at, you know, a few months after the season 1 ended, and this is going to happen, and this is going to be that, and this person's coming back, and it's like, oh, and by the way... It's still set in the 80s. Like, well, no shit. You just said it's picking up right after season 1. They didn't all of a sudden just fast forward 30 fucking years.
I like the little odes to all the other 80 movies that it does throughout the first season.
So, like, what other games could they pull from this time? Because last time it was kind of a Dungeons & Dragons theme. This time it'll be like Yar's Revenge or something.
That'd be great.
I mean, like, what other board games they could pull?
It'll be Secret of Monkey Island.
There you go. Fucking Legend of Zelda or something.
I mean, if you're really...
Dude, you know, no, because they, like the last episode, the kid's... It's like around Christmas, and he's checking the gifts under the tree, and he's like, I know it's an Atari 2600. I know it is. So I was like... I guess in the next season, it'd be like ColecoVision, maybe.
They're all going to work on getting their Pitfall patches.
Dude,
so,
Super Pitfall was awesome.
If you really like all the 80s references, you should probably read Ready Player One. That's full of them.
Well, I like how they had references to, like, aliens and E.T. and...
Mullets.
Maybe get a yeah. nice cameo from Nolan Bushnell, the guy who invented Pong. Is he still alive?
Yeah.
He might be dead.
I don't know. Maybe.
Avatari. He had cool
so
hair.
Since I missed last week, I know you guys probably talked about Scythe a little bit.
Maybe.
I asked some questions.
Yes.
We did a little, but then we did a Scythe podcast. So
oh, okay.
That came out the other day, so apparently you don't pay attention, so nailed it.
I didn't know. I knew it was coming. I didn't thought it was coming, like, later on. Like, I whatever.
I didn't do much this week. I played some Skyrim, and that was about it. My character became a vampire, and I got bummed, so I haven't played anymore.
So you say you're playing Skyrim, or are you playing Elder Scrolls Online?
Skyrim.
Okay.
Yeah, not Elder Scrolls.
I was just making sure.
Yeah, no, one of the
Skyrim, which we know is the far superior one.
Yeah, I hated Skyrim, so.
I have no perspective to compare them to, so.
I mean, Elder Scrolls Online is basically Skyrim with your friends. You know what I mean?
That sounds fun.
Same exact, like, mechanics and stuff. It's just, when I was playing Skyrim, just seemed... I appreciate open world games, but they should at least push you to stay into the right areas, because I very quickly ended up where I shouldn't be, and then I was kind of... I couldn't leave, so I was just like, well, this sucks. Every time I took two steps out of the town, a dragon was there to just rip my fucking face off.
Dude, I killed tons of dragons in that game.
Yeah, when you were level 4? I don't think so.
Well, no, I didn't have any dragons come
by. Yeah, exactly.
When I was level 4.
Imagine how much it sucks then. Ding dong.
Fucking brain.
I go talk to little Bill over here at a stand. Hey, what should I do? You should go to this town. Done and done, my good sir. I get there, the whole town's destroyed, and every time I leave, a dragon rips my face off. And even if I run back into the town because it's been destroyed, he follows me into town and rips my fucking face off.
Dude, I fucking butt-fucked, I don't know how many dragons in that game.
It's really specific.
I mean, one way to kill him, but I mean...
It does the job.
That is awesome.
Chris,
well, I did that.
Swords to butts.
I didn't fuck any dragons, though. And then I read the first trade of Tokyo Ghost.
Nice.
How is that?
Yeah, I didn't really care for it. I bought the first issue when it came out, and I wasn't that into it.
Yeah, it's...
But, yeah, once I read through the first trade, I was like, it's okay. It's better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, my dreams are shot.
I mean, the art's great.
No, you're right. Because that's Sean Murphy doing it.
I can't believe so, yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. The first issue was...
I was just
and
like,
then it got better.
Yeah,
it's a weird dystopian.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you know, the story's cool and kind of tragic enough that I was interested by it. But I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see where the next arc goes. But at the same time, I wasn't like glued to it. I like a lot of Rick Remender stuff. This is one of those things that I was kind of meh on. But it was I mean, better than I thought it was going to be for sure. So I'll definitely check out the next arc. My daughter's playing Tearaway right now on the PS4.
Oh yeah, I like that game.
Tearaway Unfolded. Sorry, thank you, honey. Mm-hmm. She's quite good at it. Yeah, that's it for me. And I saw Lego Batman yesterday.
Yeah,
I was describing to my bass player last night about it because he doesn't really go see the movies that often, but he has a really insane comprehension of pop culture, and he was like, he was kind of curious to see what was going on in it without me giving anything away. And he kept like throwing out Batman villains from like the 60s and stuff, and I was like, "Yep, in there." Like, there's so many references that are Batman references that are for people who like Batman will be stoked on that. And but if you don't know those things, you won't be lost because there's a million other references to a million other things too. I almost got exhausted by the amount of jokes at one point. Like every 5 seconds, there's 72 jokes and. It there comes a point where I kind of I'd be like, okay, just a minute of just, let's just chill for a second. Can we have like intermission or something and pick it back up? But it was quite good.
Maybe I'll go see that on Tuesday. Tuesdays it's gonna be packed. I don't know. Maybe I'll go Monday. Nailed it. So,
well, you said you had some questions.
Me?
Yeah.
Did I?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, you did.
About what?
I have no idea.
Know. Huh? I said something about Scythe, and then...
You asked what we talked about, and I think I said I had some questions, like, when did the last podcast asked you guys about Scythe.
That's the way I took it.
I don't know if we did it on... I don't know if we did it live, or if we just did it, you know, in the
live,
warp, talking
or is it Memorex?
Exactly. I haven't listened yet.
I think... I was just saying that we had talked about it last time, but I don't know if we did it in the podcast or just beforehand, because I was asking questions about it. My questions were answered. It sounds like a good game.
It did. Yeah, it was. It was.
It was awesome. We played it for 8 hours. Literally.
All right, let's go into number
Scott
one.
Scott didn't shower the whole time, and he was in his pajamas.
I do all
shower while you're playing a game.
No, I mean, sometimes I, you know, like to just put a bucket of water next to me and just kind of give myself a sponge bath at the table.
Like
a,
yeah.
But I was
like
just so into
would
it.
Do
you know?
At a hospital.
Yeah. Ugh. So number one. This was Christopher's pick. It was Loose Ends. It was on Image. Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, Loose Ends. Jason Latour, who also does Southern Bastards with Jason Aaron.
A lot of Jasons.
I believe he's the artist of Southern Bastards.
You are correct.
Yeah, this one, well, it's a four-part Southern crime romance. Takes place in the South. I know. Got all the cool little, you know.
Well, you usually when you think
Southern references like barbecue and you know, hillbillies and rednecks and chicks and Daisy Dukes. This issue, like many other first issues, kind of doesn't give you much. I feel it doesn't give you much. It kind of like it's like. You know what? I couldn't really even tell you what's the whole premise of it, you know? There's a guy sitting in the parking lot. He's talking to some woman, a waitress. Orders a couple of beers. Goes in. There's something going on. Fight breaks out. Someone gets shot. That's about it. I got his name is Reg. Other than that, like, what it is that he, you know, like, I've already read it a couple times. I'm like, either I'm stupid or I just.
Well, you got the guy's son.
I know what's going on, but to me, I feel like the writer doesn't give the reader much to go on. I feel he plops you into, you know, like, it's like watching a middle of the race. He puts you into this scenario of something that's going on, you know, or I don't know the background of Reg. I don't know, like, what he – obviously, he's involved with illegal, you know, activities or part in them.
He used to run drugs for Sonny.
Right.
And Sonny, you know, you work your way up the chain.
They don't really tell you, like, what kind of trouble he's in.
Which one, Reg or Sonny?
Reg.
Well, he basically told Sonny to go fuck himself.
Okay, yeah.
Well, it's not something you tell your boss of a drug dealer. I mean, I'm just saying.
And they seem to be guys who were in the military together at one point, too, and possibly were running drugs out of Afghanistan.
Yep.
I think I've heard that happened.
Yep.
If that's the plot, then...
I mean, I think it wasn't much of a plot so much as I think it was just kind of world building.
Yeah.
Right.
You got Sonny and Reg, who have known each other for a long time. Reg, obviously... from the military, obviously bringing drugs back from Afghanistan, obviously kept his nose pretty clean enough to where he didn't really get caught, but these cops know he's up to something, and they're trying to get to Sonny, so they're on him. But then when they start telling the Sonny side of the story, it's really bright outside. You know, then, you know, he's at the bar, he's trying to make up for lost time with his obvious, you know, baby mama by trying to give some money to her to take care of some apparent child that they have together. Because of all the money he's made from dealing drugs. And in the process, you know, those two hillbillies in the bar are trying to rape that lady in the bathroom, and he stops them. And
in a way.
Chaos ensues.
Yeah, in a way. On accident, because one of them slips on a flip-flop.
Hey, I slip on flip-flops a lot. That's hard to say.
There's something with that flop. There's something with that fly, too. I'm not really sure what that's supposed to signify, but that if you notice, there's like a little fly that flies near the suitcase, then it flies near the dead body, then it flies across here during another scene. There's a little fly that's like just popping up here and there in the panels, and I don't really... You remember the end of The Departed?
Flies are attracted to shit.
Yeah, I just assumed like, that could it's be the it. South, it's hot, they're in like a swamp.
The reason I noticed it because you see the panels a little washed out, but the fly sticks out like significantly.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, nothing's really drawn on accident in a comic. So.
Yeah.
Well,
the
fly is hanging around the baby mama, so my guess is she's trash.
Okay.
Or they had a fly in.
Whoa! So this is like Justified cross with The Fly.
Help me.
No, I was thinking, you know, the end of The Departed when Marky Mark comes in and shoots Matt Damon's character, and then as they're panning up from the dead body, you see the rat run along the rail, because the whole thing about, like, being a rat is a theme throughout that movie.
Confused.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I... There's something with that fly that I think is going to pan out when this is all done. My thing is, it feels like this is the first, like, 7 minutes of a movie, and now you're going to get the other 83 minutes in the next three issues, and I'm like, that's not going to be long enough.
Yeah, it's going to have to be pretty tight, because, right, it is, like, this issue was really just world building and a really brief intro.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah,
I agree. Feels
not
like
with me. Not with me.
It feels like the part of the movie.
No, I'm serious. It's not with me. Like I don't. I mean, I understand from their point of view, but I mean, sometimes I feel like if you're trying to lure someone into the next three issues, I feel like this issue wasn't really successful in doing that because I really don't give a shit about any of them in there.
Well, to me, this first issue is all the stuff that happens before you hear the gunshot and all of a sudden the logo of the movie pops up on a screen really big and then they play, like, whatever weird repurposed classic rock song over the credits and, like, the where they do all the different landscapes and you see the lizard on the rock do the with his tongue. And
yeah, but let me ask you this question. Do you feel it was enough?
No, like I said, this is they put on the front cover, this is a four-issue miniseries, and this feels like the first 6 to 8 minutes of a movie. And it's like, if your standard movie is 90 minutes and you're kind of looking at this as a movie in comic book form, how are you going to get another 80 minutes out of three more issues? It just doesn't feel like there's enough. It feels like this should be a 12-issue miniseries.
So we're on the same page then.
No, I feel like they give you a lot of detail here, but like, how are you going to wrap up this story in three more issues is what I'm saying. I feel like they're going to rush the next three, and it's going to kind of just end up being this weird kind of convoluted mess in a way. Not a mess, but I feel like they're just not going to tell you a lot of things as it goes on. Because they're going to be like, oh, well, we want to get to this, but we can't because we got to really talk about this. And it's not that I think the characters are bad. I just think they're with four issues, you're not going to be able to flesh it out in any meaningful way. And I kept thinking while I'm reading this, I'm like, I sort of feel like I've seen this before. And I don't know if it's like I've seen this kind of story before or if I've actually seen this before. And then in the back, if you see, there's a 12-gauge comics logo.
Right.
I remember about 6 years ago at Free Comic Book Day, 12-gauge Comics put out one of those double-issue things where it's like half a comic is one preview of a book, and then you flip it upside down and over, and the other half is another half or preview of an issue. And then I saw it, and it said that this was originally going to come out on 12-gauge, like in 2011. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember getting that issue now, because I remember looking through this back then and going, looks okay. And then when I read it and threw it, and I started like remembering the panels and pages from back then, I'm like, oh, this was supposed to come out like 6 years ago. So this actually isn't new. This is sort of old. I mean, he even says in the back he wrote it in 2005. So it's pretty old.
Damn, that was...
Yeah, 2006.
Okay, 2006.
Yeah, close enough.
Well, I'll say that, you know, for doing anything genre, of course, it's going to be... there's a lot of danger for tropes.
Right.
And... you know, I feel like there's certainly those are in here, but there's enough things that happened that actually I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that didn't go exactly the way I thought it was going to go. Like, it kind of changed it just enough that I'm curious. I'm curious to see what this goes. I do agree that, like, the idea there's only three more issues of this, it's going to have to be a pretty small story, and that might be okay, depending on the strength of what happens to the characters in the next issue. I think, honestly, the next issue is going to be the one I'm going to have to judge by more so than this one, because I think I'm gonna keep with it. It's only four issues. I feel like there's not a ton of risk here for me, and I mean there's nothing really at stake ever. But when it comes to this, I like the genre so much. I mean, you know, you mentioned Justified a minute ago. Like, anything set in that world, I love. I mean, the fact they didn't make Justified till Timothy Olyphant died, I think is a crime. That show should have just been on forever. I think Southern noir is just like one of my favorite things, and
agreed.
This is not as good as Southern Bastards.
Oh, clearly not.
And I mean, it's not as good as like Stray Bullets was or anything like that. But I think there was enough of it, kind of enough of the tweaking of the genre in that first issue, in this first issue, and enough a little like weird things dropped in there, and enough little details, attention to detail, that I was like, okay, maybe, you know, I have some faith that this might be pretty good, or some confidence, I should say. This might be pretty good when it's over, but I really can't tell from this first issue. So I'm still going to check it out. I was probably into this more than you guys were, but a lot of that, I think, maybe might just be me just into this genre so much that I don't really think much of it can go wrong.
Well, like, see, the thing that going on what you're saying and what Brian is saying, like Brian is saying, like he feels like four issues isn't really enough, and I agree with him because of the certain little things that happens in there, like those two idiots and, you know, them trying to assault that woman in the bar. Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, that just starts
to... I'm trying to wonder if that's some kind of effect that you're going to see in issue 2, 3, or 4.
No,
because if,
probably
if
not.
If nothing like that, then what's the purpose of showing it?
I think just because it jump-started a situation that didn't have to exist. Like, it could have just been...
But everything has a cause and effect, and those dudes, you know,
sure,
one of them gets his head, you know, smashed in.
Yeah. I mean, without giving away details to anyone or anything, I mean, it's like the story was going one direction. Drug running story with these cops trying to stop this some way, you know. There's that's just part. And then there's that, then, but the story actually turns into, due to something that, because of that attempted rape and what happens after that, the story of these characters on suddenly takes a totally another turn. Like, so the cop story is still happening the way it would have happened regardless, because they don't know it's happening, but now there's a new,
right, but you've
new
gotten,
spotlight
you've got, on. You've got, yeah, you've gotten other little twists and turns that have happened, which I'm assuming are going to somehow affect the main storyline, which I would think it would, because that's the point I'm trying to say, is like, then why even have it? But then that's the point I'm trying to make, then. Is four issues going to be enough?
It doesn't, honestly, it does not seem like it. I mean, it seems to me, but maybe it's a challenge. I mean, maybe I will be surprised. That's why I said in the next issue, I think I'll know more, because at the end of the second issue, we're at the halfway point, so.
And if I had to compare it to Southern Bastards, the first issue of Southern Bastards, I don't think this one even could, can't, can, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Can't even stand up to it.
And we can't help but compare because of who's made it, so. No, I think
he's a part of Southern Bastards as well. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair comparison. I guess I'm just saying that I
Southern
forward.
Bastards has way more grit, has way more I'm trying to think of the word. Just
I think it's two different types of story, where it's, cuz Southern Bastards like heavily revolves around that high school football team, from what I remember,
right,
and that guy and, you know, his relationship to that town. It's basically the guy going back home to the place he tried to avoid for a long time, whereas this is a guy who's basically just trying to, you know, kind of almost atone for his, you know, he's carrying this suitcase that he's carrying around is kind of almost symbolic of his sins that he's carrying around with him, and he's trying to atone for them in a way by doing right by the mother of his son that he probably doesn't see very often. And then, you know, the moment he quietly tries to just slip in and give her some money to, you know, get ahead or get by a little bit with, ends up being the thing that kind of throws everything into turmoil. So,
like, seems like one of those people who maybe everything he touches turns to shit, and this is just another example.
Right.
Of the fly.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about the incident in the bathroom, you can argue whether or not it belongs there or not, but it was just the choice that the creators made to, like you said, light that flint, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it could have just been a bar fight. It could have been someone could have backed into someone's car in the parking lot to start, you know, a chain of events that ended with this sort of on the run sort of thing having to happen. But this, they decided to go a pretty brutal way.
Right, and whoever, I forget the name of the girl that was getting attacked, but she could end up being.
I don't think they ever say her name.
Well, I think they did. I just don't remember it. But
I'll say whoever drew her is a really good drawer. I think her name's Sherry, by the way.
My point was, she might end up being his, like, redemption. It's, they might save one another.
Dun, well, she's dun, definitely dun. A step up from the baby mama, that's for sure.
This guy's raiding.
She's like a whole flight of stairs.
This guy's Donald Trumping cartoon characters. Next, he's going to talk about the inner workings of his thoughts on Wilma Flintstone.
No.
It was weird that Fred could get his entire hand around her waist.
I agree.
And, like, make a fist. Like, Wilma was in danger all the time.
Yeah, definitely. He was a beast of a man.
Well, Kim is the baby mama. That's her name.
Right.
But I don't think they ever...
I think one of the dudes, unless it's a... He says Sherry at one point, like C-H-E-R-I. Unless that's like a...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. He does.
But I honestly, only time the name comes up. Whereas Kim's name is mentioned like 10 times.
Yeah, because she's a filthy whore.
So I read a number?
I think beyond ready at this point. Christopher, you want to go?
I'm going to give it like a 5. And the art's fine and everything. And the story's okay. It's just not, to me, it's just not enough. It's just, there's not enough to, like, to go on for me to, like, stay interested in it.
Sweet. Brian?
I had a different number in mind, but I think Damien talked me a little bit higher because, we started getting into the whole Justify thing and whatever. I was probably at like a 6.5, but I think I've been talked into a 7. And because it is 4 issues, I probably will at least go one more. Like you said, Justified could be on for the rest of my life, and I would not complain one bit. Even if it was like literally Raylan and Boyd Crowder chasing each other around for 42 seasons. Like in wheelchairs down a hill at a retirement home. I'd be like, no, this is still great. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I actually really like this. I'm not going to go into any loads of detail on it, but I gave it an 8.
Yeah, I also gave it an 8. I'm at one of these things. I'm at the conundrum right now, knowing how Image works. It's like, okay, I did like this. I don't know if I love it. So, do I spend another like a total of $16 on 4 issues and have the singles, or do I just wait like 5 months and spend $9 on the trade? Because I can't imagine it's going to be a very thick trade. I imagine it's going to be one of the little ones.
This is true.
But I'll probably, honestly, I'll be fine. But I will report back if you guys don't watch it, like what I think about the second issue when it comes out. Because, I don't know, I think it has a lot of potential. And it is a small, it's going to be a tight little story. I don't think this is going to be a sprawling, you know, True Romance style crime epic or Crown of the South. I think it's going to be pretty tight.
If I was to go based on the title, my guess is he's got a lot of loose ends that he's got to tie up.
Nice. I do like the reference to Natty Light in there, too. I can tell they're on the close to the Eastern Shore, if that's the shit beer that he likes. Because that's a shit beer that I like. It's actually the one my wife drinks, National Bohemian, which is the Baltimore, like, shitty beer.
Nice. I've never even heard of it.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's not great. It tastes like all of those beers.
It's greatly shitty is what he's trying to say. It's fantastically crappy.
See, now, if Chris did drink, at least we could have done beers, and I think that would have been an interesting one, seeing as I probably hate 8%. But what?
I would see your summer shandy in the refrigerator, or your cherry Weiss, or...
I don't remember what's in there right now.
No, your Oktoberfest cinnamon roll.
Right now, that's oatmeal cappuccino stout.
They make a Voodoo Donuts beer out here. It's hard to drink an entire thing of it, but it's pretty good.
That's how I feel about St. Pauli.
It's like
girl.
The one that you sip.
Yeah, absolutely.
But since we're not going to do beer, we're going to do jukebox songs, seeing as though this is a nice little shit kicker bar with a jukebox where they're playing all kinds of awesome music. There's honestly so many I can go overrated on this one. A few songs I've picked in the past for other over-unders, but I think I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go Metallica, For Whom the Bell Tolls, because that always has to come on at some shitty bar. And it's like, dude, when that song came out, all you guys hated it, but now that it's like light rock, now it's awesome. Like,
wait, are you thinking Enter Sandman?
No.
For Whom the Bell...
It's on the top 10 list of jukebox songs for 2016.
Really?
I believe it. I was looking at, like, because now they have all those fancy touchscreen and you can, like, right. actually do it from your cell phone, so they keep track of a lot of that shit. And I don't frequent bars much anymore, maybe once or twice a year, but I feel like that song does come on, and everyone who hated it when it came out are like, yeah!
You're right.
Bumping chest and stuff, and it's like, dude, go.
What bars are you hanging out in?
I don't know. I'm just imagining a lot of it because I don't go to bars anymore. But
2 50-year-old guys bumping chest over Metallica.
I would not. It wouldn't surprise me.
That's awesome.
Go down here to Danny Jackson and see what goes on.
Oh, pass.
You'll see the entire bar get up and start doing the Nick Miller dance when fucking Cotton Eye Joe comes on. It's fucking ridiculous.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
I got
no idea.
Plenty of other options to do on a Saturday night, like face down on the couch, face down at the side of the couch.
Dude, I'll do face down in the bathtub instead of going to Dandy Jack's, but hey, that's just me.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Who the hell is picking Yeah by Usher to play at a fucking jukebox?
I don't know.
Getting jiggy with my brother.
Am I Overrated is a classic rock staple that I hated when I first heard it. It still sucks. It will always suck. And that is Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
That song is awful. I can't understand. I mean, I get the whole intricate picking part at the beginning is sort of technically proficient. But I fucking hate that song. I hate everything about it. It's not a good outlaw song in any way, shape, or form. And when he does the whole, and I rocked them all, everybody does the air guitar thing. I'm like, I don't fucking throw a stool at you. Enough.
I'll throw a stool at you.
I have a really tough time saying this, but there are actually songs by Bon Jovi that suck less. And that's hard to say with words because Bon Jovi's terrible. But that song is the fucking worst thing ever conceived by a human being.
Wow, wow.
Man, hope we don't have any listeners from Jersey. Cause...
I'll throw him a bone and say that 10th Avenue Freeze Out by Bruce Springsteen's not a bad song.
There you go. Yeah, I like Bruce Springsteen. Not enough to own any records, but I like him.
I like two songs, maybe. Three.
The couple records were just like him and a guitar. Those are the old ones. And if you ever watch any live stuff from the last few years where they have, like, the three guitars, they have, like, Bruce Springsteen, Stevie, Little Steven, and was it Niels Laughlin? Is that his name?
Sure.
Like, the short guy. He's, like, a short guy, but he plays, like, a baritone guitar. They'll do these, like, jams at the end of their sets, and they all start doing they all start trading solos. But they've been playing guitar for so long, they do solos for each other now instead of for the audience, you know? They're, like, playing for each other. And their solos have gotten so weird. They're starting to sound like, if you can imagine what Bruce Springsteen would sound like doing Slayer solos. Like, they're really strange shapes and weird, like, noise and stuff comes out of it. And I was watching it once. I was like, this is actually pretty awesome. And I can't imagine the audience is enjoying this at all. Like, like, when I think Bruce Springsteen, you know, when I think of their crowd, I don't think of someone who's, like, super into, like, guitar that sounds like Suffocation or something all of a sudden.
And then they
really impressive to me and really confounding to me also.
Right before they go into their For Whom the Bell Tolls medley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the next tour of Dysrhythmia will be opening for Bruce Springsteen.
That would be super weird.
Yes.
I might even consider going to the fence and just trying to listen over it.
Trying to listen over a chain link fence?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, security.
Live music, super loud. I can't hear anything over this fence.
Well, when the security guards grab you and start beating you in the ears, maybe you don't hear anything anymore.
It's great.
I don't know why security guards would punch you in the ears, but you never know what's going to happen.
Because that's the first. Because that's what you're doing. You're listening for free. They got to go straight for the ear.
True.
That's the offending orifices.
They just do the old wrestling move where they just take their hands and just pop.
You gotta
right
give
over
me a slight break here. That's the most thought I've ever put into going to a Bruce Springsteen concert in my entire life.
And I love how violence is gonna immediately happen too. Oh, it's great.
Did we lose Chris?
I'm right here.
Did you get one?
Oh yeah, I do. I'm going based on what I'm looking here when I typed in jukebox songs in Google, and there's a list from the, what is this, CBS Local, WXRT. Yep. Top 10 songs to become a jukebox hero at your local bar.
What?
Fuck to,
that's
I don't know.
Thing?
I guess.
Yeah. It's probably whatever. The same list I was looking at.
How fucking sad do you have to be
yeah.
Like,
and you know what?
I'm going to play these songs tonight, and I'm going to have a friend.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm picking this song because this song by far is the fucking dumbest. Even though this whole list is stupid. Are You Gonna Be My Girl by Jet? That band is fucking horrid. If you're gonna fucking do that kind of band, I can think of two bands that do it way better, 100 times better than you guys. The Helicopters and Glucifer.
Yeah, those are good choices. I thought you were gonna go like more low and low common denominator and say like the Hives or something. I was like, yeah, I guess they're better than Jet. Yeah,
no way, dude.
Yeah, no,
come
Glucifer
on, dude. A poser.
No, I don't know. I didn't assume you were. I just thought we were gonna keep with the with what is in the world of what's in a jukebox.
Oh. No, well,
I mean, in Seattle we have Lucifer in jukeboxes, but
well, yeah, because that's but yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, both those albums were on Sub Pop.
Yeah, Helicopters. It's true. If you actually put Helicopters on in a jukebox here, you actually might make friends.
Well, yeah, I could. That's definitely something you could. Those are the kind of songs you go and you take tricks the 45-year-old bartender and go and hump her in the bathroom.
Tricks. As in, tricks are for kids?
Like, Trixie, I guess? I don't know.
Oh, tricks? Okay.
Chris has never been to a bar, so he has a really active imagination of what goes on there.
Yeah. But yeah, Jet, that band is stupid. Stupid. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Good song by that fucking band.
Should we do a podcast on it?
We could. Do 20 good minutes on Jet.
It's kind of what it feels like right now.
What fucking dumb they are.
What are those guys, Red Letter Day Collective or something? The guys that did the Phantom Menace takedown on YouTube years ago? I can't remember. Anyway, they do like a 2-hour takedown of an hour and a half movie.
Nice.
It's pretty great. God, you had a good one. One thing I wanted to say is, first of all, a thing I think is super overrated is the new jukeboxes. I think those things suck. I like agree. The old ones. It's not just because of some sort of purist thing. Like, there's things you used to be able to do in the old ones that you can't do anymore. Like, you can't play the same song 6 times in a row anymore. which you could, especially at Waffle Houses in the South, when you decide to put on like the one, like, you know, Coolio song or whatever that's in there, just to bum out all the other in there. We did that on the Botch tour.
That's awesome.
We were in a Waffle House, and right before we left, we put on like a Coolio song or something 5 times in a row. We got to listen to 2 of them, and by the time the 3rd one came up, we saw everyone in the thing be like, "What the fuck?" Like, look around. Of course, I did find out shortly after that jukeboxes often have kill switches. Where the person working the bar can hit a button up front and it'll move to the next song if it's something they can't stand. So,
you know what?
That maybe happened.
I do agree that I hate the new ones only because, like, if I put something on and I don't want to pay, you know, $30 to hear it right now and I'm just going to wait 10 minutes, someone else can just bump my song and be like, oh, I want to hear mine now. And I never get to hear it. Or if you pay enough money, you can start your song in the middle of somebody else's.
What?
I think it's some of these
fucking crony capitalism right there.
Right? It's like, dude, it's bullshit.
I mean, I get all that, but I don't like Sweet Emotion that much.
Well, we'll get there when we get to the underrated.
I'm just saying.
It's better than Jet, though.
No, it's. I mean, it's a song that exists, and I don't like cry when it's on, but I don't like go yes.
I'll pay $17 to have that right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 2 Aerosmith songs that I think are okay, and that's not really one of them, so. There's a lot of Aerosmith songs. I'm like, oh, God, please stop. Please stop, or I'm going to pull my eyeballs out. I don't want to hear Janie's Got a Gun ever again.
Oh, Jesus, that fucking song. Can I pick that song? I don't know if that's really a jukebox song.
You could pick any Aerosmith song, because it's a piece of shit anyways.
Just to throw out a random song that I get fucking furious about when it comes on in bars, and it's a classic jukebox song, is anything by George Thorogood.
Agreed.
I only didn't pick those because those were the drinking songs that we picked. Because everybody picked one bourbon.
I know they were. I remember we picked those too. It's just it's such low hanging fruit, but it's like fucking foul fruit too.
Now he is totally the guy that grew up in the cul-de-sac that thought he was a blues man for whatever reason because his bike was stolen once. He's like, I feel your pain, man. I know you grew up in the swamp. I had my BMX bike stolen when I was 12.
And someone took my big wheel.
And they're like, no, it's not the same thing. He's like, no, it's cool. I got it.
Well, I guess the world's always ending for someone, isn't it?
True.
George Thorogood, the Tom Brady of blues.
Oh, Tom Brady. It's okay to hate Tom Brady, right?
I mean, I guess.
It's okay to hate football, period.
I know, but that guy seemed like...
Yeah, he's kind of the worst.
All right, so there we go.
Wait, what was your pick?
Oh, I just said anything. It's okay. Just like now, you know, at one point it was kind of like cool, but in a way that was stupid to me. Now it's like ironic and more stupid to me. Like now when people put it on, they're like, oh, here comes Bad to the Bone. Watch out. I know you guys all hate it. Oh, like, of course we hate it. No, please. Put on the damn Shin song like you really want to hear, you dumb poser.
Right. Pretty sure at this point, even George Thorogood's like, Jesus Christ! All right, so underrated. This will go back to the times when I used to go to, I don't want to say bars regularly, but you know, you knew I was there because at least three or four times throughout the night, you would hear Rock and Roll Outlaw by Clutch. And then there'd be one drunken idiot standing on his bar stool singing along, playing air guitar. Wait a minute, that was me. It got to the point where everybody was like, what the fuck is this? And then, like, by the time the night was over, the waitresses were, like, singing along with me.
Ah, it's awesome.
So, yeah.
Converted some.
Well, I just think that they thought I was funny. You know, it wasn't exactly that they liked the song. They just, they knew I was going to get all riled up, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
I actually had one, but now I just came up with another one, so I'll do both of them real quick. My main pick is, this is going to be weird a little bit, but Blackened by Metallica. Because it's kind of like one of the only Metallica albums that'll be on every jukebox, but it's like a 9-minute song. So I think like your average person probably is like, oh my God, this song is like the longest thing ever. And I still like Injustice for All, but another one that I found to be quite amazingly amusing when you're out in public is 21st Century Schizoid Man by King Crimson. So that's another one that's 8 minutes long, and it's got that crazy part in the middle where they're basically all just playing different parts, and it's just one big, like, jazz fusion mesh of noise and guitar screaming, and totally throws off the vibe of people who want to listen to, like, Freebird. And then I'm the only idiot in the bar that knows it. And then Wanted Dead for Alive comes on next, because everybody's right. Got to get that vibe back.
Right. Followed by one whiskey, one scotch. Bourbon, scotch, beer, whatever the fuck it's called. Followed by fucking I've Got Friends in Low Places. You fucking asshole.
Or probably out here, they probably play. Well, no, out here I'm sure they do in the bars. The fucking Chelsea Dagger song.
Oh, yeah. That or every once in a while somebody will go for a deep cut, play a little Georgia Satellites.
I'll play a little Joe Satriani.
That's way too deep. That's like ocean depth for around here.
Oh, I know.
No, like
Stevie
I was
Ray Vaughan.
Around here, deep cuts is like the Black Crowes.
That's another overrated.
Yeah, that's a cover too, I think.
Yes, it is.
I'm actually ashamed that Jimmy Page actually did anything with them.
I don't know. They were really popular with the hippies, so.
True. It's still blue.
Oh man, remember that band Buck Cherry?
Yes. Oh.
Jesus. I guess because they looked like the Black Crowes. Man, those guys pissed me off. Fucking John from Undertow loved those guys.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Buck Cherry he liked?
Oh yes, very much so.
Oh, you're talking about John Pettibone?
Yes, I am definitely talking about John.
Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking of Mark for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay, underrated Chris.
You know what? I don't even know if this song would be on a jukebox. Well, actually, I would probably think it would.
Yeah, nowadays they're mostly like connected to the internet and can download whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. I'm going to go with one that is obscure. And I'm just picking it because I would like to hear it in a bar. Misty Mountain Hop.
I feel like that will be pretty easy.
You think so?
And within modern jukeboxes, they pretty much have full albums now. You can play.
Okay, then. No Quarter? Is that better?
No, both songs are fine. I'm just saying, like, it won't be. It's not like back in the day where it was like a 45 of, like, the hit and then the weird, not really deep cut, but sort of deep cut. Like, you get Head Games with.
Yeah, that's right. Know. That's right. You know what? Now that Double I think Vision. About it, I'm going to change it. Change my pick.
Or you get Don't Fear the Reaper with Godzilla.
No, but well, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about songs that. You know, I was thinking about the old jukeboxes, you know, like.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't thinking about the new ones. I know, like, nowadays you could just get whatever.
Yeah, you can get, like, Baroness on your jukebox at the bar now.
Yeah, but I was thinking more of those, so I want to change my pick. It's still Led Zeppelin, but it's the one fucking, shit. I can't think of the name of the song.
In the Morning?
No,
White
not
Mountain,
that.
Black Mountain?
No, it was a single. It was during Led Zeppelin 3.
All
it didn't
love.
Come out on Led Zeppelin 3. It came out on, like, you know, one of the 45s back then. It was like on the other side, but I can't think of the name of the fucking song.
Tangerine.
No, dude, that was on 3.
I'm not gonna need help.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What's that song? I'm in the mood for a melody. I'm in the mood.
No, that's no, not that piece of shit. I'm thinking about the one song that how's it go? Oh, let me tell you about a girl. Man, I know she looks so fine. She's the only one I ever really love.
I know what song that is.
That one. But I can't think of the name. And it only came out on a single.
Hey, what can I do?
Thank you.
I know way too much about Led Zeppelin. Ooh.
But that's a good song, though. Do you not agree?
No, I like it.
You like it enough.
It's not my favorite, but I mean, I don't dislike it.
I didn't say it was my favorite, but I still like it.
It's not Hot Dogging or whatever that song on whatever Into the Outdoor is. That song is fucking awful. I don't even know what the hell they're doing.
Brian's favorite Led Zeppelin album's Into the Outdoor.
I'm more of a Presence guy, to be honest. With Coda, maybe.
That's no better.
I'm more of a later Zeppelin guy. You know, when they really started.
He's more into Coda.
When they really were terrible, that's my stuff.
Well, those are all the shitty songs they had left over. Yeah, let's put all our shitty songs out on an album.
They just paid fucking, like, one of the, like, guys who got kicked out of Seals and Crofts to just write a couple albums for them, and Robert Plant just wailed over it.
Well, the funny thing is, you ever see that thing about them on VH1 that was, like, I don't know how many years ago? The Legends thing, and they're talking about... And they're talking about when they went to go record In Through the Outdoor, and it was basically just Robert Plant and John Paul Jones, and it's like, okay, yeah, I could totally see why that album sounds the way it does.
That album sounds like those guys trying to go in through.
And I was just imagining, like, seeing John Bonham's face when they're, like, playing the songs for him. He's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. He had a beer in
or
one.
Or he was just too drunk to even care.
He had a mug of beer in one hand and like a po' boy in his mouth, and it was just hanging halfway out. He just didn't even care anymore.
He's like, we're gonna make money off of it anyways. That means I could buy more cars and more drugs.
He just kept thinking like, oh, what food am I gonna eat when we're on tour? All of it.
And Jimmy Page is too busy fucking stoned out of his mind fucking conjuring up magic potions.
They had too many people out like at furniture stores looking for a lazy boy for him to sit by the drums the whole tour in every single city. They're like, oh, drum throne, he's just gonna break that thing.
Oh, poor John.
He just had buckets of shrimp next to the drum set. He just flicked them in his mouth.
Well, did you ever see like oh, Jesus Christ, what is that one video that they did that came out for Four Houses of the Holy? It was their concert. Do you remember what it was called, Brian?
Oh, yeah, the song remains the same.
Thank you. And they had their, like, little fantasy-like, in you know, like, little fantasy-like outros or, you know, of them. And, like, the only thing, like, for John Bonham is him just driving his car in the countryside.
Yeah, if they made it a few years earlier, or a few years later, just been him at various Pizza Huts all over the place.
But it's funny how, like, they all have, like, a fantasy. It is like, yeah, dude, they're like, what would you want for your fantasy? He's like, are you fucking joking me? Just show clips of me driving my car looking like a man. He's like, don't you want to be going to the, storming the castle? Like Robert Plant was storming the castle.
He's doing. I don't know. I haven't seen that in years. I couldn't tell you.
That's the only one I remember. I can't remember like John Paul Jones or like Jimmy Pages. Jimmy Pages was probably like doing some kind of wizard shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like, I'm gonna buy Aleister Crowley's ashes and
stuff them in my nostrils.
I sleep with them right at my bedside. Well, he bought his house.
Scott's falling asleep.
All right.
So I'll do my last one real quick. I was going to try to be hilarious and say that song, Meet Me at the Waffle House, as I mentioned earlier. I really recommend listening to it if you get a chance. It's considered country, but it has, like, these disco drums over it. It's fucking insane. It's terrible, too. But but when I used to go to a bar, like, in between, before the fucking, you know, giant smartphone on the wall that would play anything on Spotify, and a little after the 45s, there was the whole CD era of jukeboxes, where because they're all CDs, you get the entire record, which is kind of cool. This one place by my house, place that I used to live at called Cooper's, had a pretty, like, whatever jukebox, but they had the Lounge Axe Relocation and Defense CD, benefit CD, which had, like, Jesus Lizard and Guided by Voices and Shellac and all this stuff. And all those songs are, like, you know, not released on anything else, and all of those songs are some of those band's best songs. And I want to say Shellac by Killers is one of my favorite, Killers by Shellac was one of my favorite things to put on in that bar. And it was just like Scott putting on the Clutch song. That was the thing where, like, oh, okay, Damon's here. like always the first thing I did. That, and then the Jesus Lizard song, which it's the first song on the CD, and it's a version of a song on, I want to say it's a redux of the last song on Shot, and it's so much better than the version that's on that record. It's like one of my favorite Jesus Lizard songs. So I'd say anything on that CD, but this specifically the Shellac track is so goddamn good. Followed up secondly by the Jesus Lizard, and I think those are tracks 2 and 1 respectively.
Followed up by any song by Ted Nugent.
Not a huge Ted Nugent fan.
Yeah, I don't know about.
He's got a couple tunes, but I mean, it's kind of hard to separate the art from the artist.
Come on,
sometimes.
Dude, you don't want to hear Cat Scratch Fever or Great White Buffalo.
Yeah,
at
I
the
guess
bars?
He was way more interesting before he opened. Like, I started paying attention.
Opened his mouth.
Yeah. Once you start paying attention to the way he feels about a lot of things, you're like, oh, geez, I saw this guy in concert.
Yeah,
it's weird.
I mean, I can go see The Ring and not think about the fact that The Ring Cycle and not think about the fact that fucking Wagner was a total white supremacist, but it is tough when Ted Nugent is still living and still saying ridiculous shit. Hopefully that guy will die soon so we can start liking his music again.
Go dust off the old CDs.
What are the casinos in Wyoming gonna do then?
Yeah, right.
All righty,
so pushing through to best thing ever. It's kind of like, oh geez, but also like, yay at the same time for me, because like I've been at my job for officially, well, in April it'll officially be 10 years, so that's like, oh geez, but because I've been there 10 years I now have 3 weeks of vacation, so yay, that's my best thing.
Yay.
For the week. I have an extra week I can take off and sit on a fucking couch with.
If I Yay. Make it, if I make it 3 more years, I'll get the same thing. We'll see.
That's not 10.
No, ours is 5. Ours is 5 years, and I think after 8 years, we get a 4.
Well, looks like I need to quit.
I don't. It's not worth it. It's definitely not going to be worth your while.
No.
My best thing ever, Target is pretty much clearing out their entire board game inventory this weekend, so everything's super cheap, so I bought like 3 games today. That's all I got.
Did you buy them online?
I don't know. I saw in the paper, they're like, oh, buy 2 board games, movies, music, or books, mix and match, doesn't matter, buy 2, get 1 free. I was like, oh, all right, I'm going there to buy groceries anyway. So I walk in, and all the games, like the decent, or actually good ones, are all like half off, so like 7 Wonders was like $14. I was like, holy fuck. So I grabbed what I didn't have and paid like way less than I would have. So
yeah, so anyone who doesn't have Ticket to Ride, now's the time.
That's the only one not clearance.
Oh, never mind then,
because I was thinking, oh my fucking god, I'm gonna get that, and they didn't have it. So or they have it, but it's still $50.
That's the train one, right?
Yes,
I heard that's really good.
It's super fun and super frustrating when somebody blocks you out. Still one of the best games, though. Super fun.
I still need to play Russian Railroads, because I hear that's really good also.
It's like Ticket to Ride, but you got to drink vodka the whole time. Christopher?
Thing ever.
You're like a mile away. He said that they got their blinds in, for those of you who probably didn't hear him.
Sorry, I said our blinds. That's what I said.
I know, I heard you, but it was
from Menards.
Super quiet.
Hung them up. Pretty cool.
Did you save
What's
big
the
money?
What's the store called?
Menards.
Okay. Okay, it's exactly what I heard.
Do you not have Menards out there?
No, I don't.
Oh.
It made me think of Monster Squad immediately.
So you definitely didn't get my whole did you save big money con.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
that's I thought like, Menards was everywhere.
That's their jingle in a commercial. Save big money at Menards.
Nope, not out here.
It's like, no.
Do you guys have Fred Meyers out there?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I already said no.
Well, actually, we have Meijer. which is based in Michigan, but the original owner of Meijer grocery stores is named Fred Meijer.
Oh, interesting.
But might not be the same.
Anyway, I was saying in relation. I know it's one of these. The Fred Meijers are here. It's a big, like a Target kind of big box store, but they're known for being much better to their employees, and they're local to Seattle. But then they're also, I think they're now part of that like Kroger family.
Oh, okay.
So which is funny because
we don't have Krogers here, but
if they're smaller and they can be better to their employees, what is the excuse for these gigantic billionaire corporations?
They hate their employees.
Exactly. Just saying.
See, we don't have Kroger here either, but we have Mariano and Ultra Foods, which are owned by Kroger, so it's pretty much Kroger.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what my best thing ever is. It's been pretty awesome watching my daughter play video games. Part of me right now is like, oh, this is so great. Then the other part of me is realizing that it's really sunny out today, and she's probably completely content just to see her play this game all day. So.
Well, now that you're going to be done with the podcast, you can take her out and do some stuff.
Boo!
I didn't say I wanted a part of this. I just wanted the PlayStation to be freed up.
Yeah, I gotta stop being.
He's like, now I can play
Skyrim.
Destiny.
Someone loaned me their copy of Witcher 3, so I gotta try that out too.
I mean, priorities. You know what I mean? Like Witcher 3 is kind of. I hear it's an awesome game. So, just saying.
Nah, we're gonna go. It's Valentine's Day is Tuesday, so we have to get prepared. We got to make sure that we got stuff for the wife,
right?
Because it's fun. It's a fun holiday.
It can be, yes. Not when you're super single and lonely, but just rub it in. It's cool. Oh, Valentine's Day. Yeah, me and Sugar are gonna sit there and watch TV. It's gonna be dope.
I'm gonna watch Justice League Dark. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I think it's
why everyone else has sex.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, what were you
saying? I'm going to be too tired to have sex.
I'll be organizing my X-Wing ships. And then eventually I'll just pick one up and start running around the house going, pew, pew.
That's what I do.
That's the saddest movie of all time.
Yeah.
When Oscar Isaac heard he was going to get to be Poe Dameron in Star Wars, he said that he was in a hotel and he ran and grabbed a shampoo bottle and pretended it was an X-Wing. Because he was so excited.
That guy is a really good actor, side note.
Oh, he's great. You guys all saw Ex Machina, right?
Loved it.
Oh, my God. The movie's so brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't trust anybody for like 2 weeks.
As you shouldn't.
I agree. You never know. I mean, that was, that knife just slid in so easily and methodically. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Did anyone watch Legion?
Oh, that came out?
Yeah.
They were powerless.
If it's new, I'm going to say no.
You know what's sad is I didn't even know it was like Marvel and about like an X-Men character.
Well, I guess
the whole Legion story in the 90s where like he kills Professor X or something. He kills his own dad like before he was born or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but there was a whole new, X-Men for a while.
Right.
Like all the X titles got revamped and new artists and new backstory, and it was all like, everything that was canon before is thrown out. It's a whole new start. And they did that for like a year, and then they just went back to the old version. I can't remember what the heck it was called, though.
Confusing X-Men?
Kind of, yeah. It was one of those things where I was like, I had been reading like just X-Men at that time, and I was like, oh, God damn it, now I have to like get X-Force, and I got a Cable, and I've got to get... But there's all these new titles, too. You know, like the New Mutants plus Hulk or something. I can't remember what the fuck they were, but... I remember Joe Majira, I think this was the artist for whatever the X-Men title was, where Magneto was the leader. I don't know. It's stupid.
I'm dumb. Leave me alone. Well, all right then. That is our show, and you can follow me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can follow Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can follow Chris at SkateXEdge. You can follow Damien at Damien Johnston. Don't forget to check out ReviewAndRoast.com for all of our written reviews, and head to ComicRoast.com to listen to all of our podcasts. Have a good week. Drunk all the time. I said I gotta leave.
there's a midnight shift. She fall around all the time. I guess it's just one thing to left for me to do. Gonna pack my bags and move on my way. Cause I got a worried mind, sharing what I thought was mine. Gonna leave her with a guitar's play. I got a